Blog Talk Radio.
You brought too many.
We'll be right back.
afternoon. Show number 1052. Welcome. As we get ready to sit down for an abbreviated time frame, but we will still serve good food for thought, courtesy of your loving mad scientist here at Soul Tree Radio in the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis, Angham DJ Honeycomb, and as always, it is good to be with you. Soul Tree Radio in the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. And get all the good shit. The who, what, when, where, why, and how right now at www.basnnewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, Radio Reggie, languishing about in Richmond, Virginia. Ricky Hampton Sr. in Detroit City, host of the African American Athlete Show. Great listen, 9 p.m. Tuesdays. Check out Ricky and Mike. Send them your ears, and I know you'll be pleased. And the African American Athlete Show, Tuesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk, and go to their website, theAfricanAmericanAthlete.com, for more good stuff. And of course, Pat Freeman, the Mighty Oba, his podcast of Pro Talk will be played later on today. You get a chance to dig Oba, where he's coming from, as his Buffalo Bills are hot. And they're going to be playing my Philadelphia Eagles, and probably might whip that ass, because my Eagles they're like a house fire right now. They're just as bad as that fire that's spreading out in California. Excuse me, fires that's spreading in California. But I digress. In any event, rest of the chefs may pop in and out, but I want to also remind you guys that around 2:30, we may hear from our colleague Van Ark, who has been doing his thing with us for a while now. He's got some new stuff coming out. I'm looking forward to hearing what Van has to say, musically and otherwise. But before I even get into that, I want to first acknowledge the fact that it has been a while since we brought this up, but it's important to notice what's going on around us, especially when you consider what has been going on in California. There is some downright evil shit afoot. It seems like nobody is really paying attention to the fact that our infrastructure is up shit's creek. I mean, it is really bad. And now, because of Mother Nature and maybe somebody else instigating the action, we're living in the United States of America where everything is just like used toilet paper. The Gulf area and New Orleans was hit again with another storm. And this is, of course, going on as we've got fires raging all across California. Northern California, down south. You know, these were things that have always been a constant that people have to be concerned about during the summer when the possibilities of fire causing more problems would become more intense. But now, you know, the media has almost numbed everyone to the fact that, oh, yeah, by the way, you know, it's burning in California and shit, and, you know, pay no mind to the fact that people are losing their property and their asses are going up in flames and all kinds of stuff like that there. But I digress. That's why I say this. My man, the bad man from the East Bay, may give us some further 411 on this. As Gary Norris Gray is in the mix. What's up, G?
California might not be here any longer. They keep it up. I'll tell you.
How bad Michael, is it out there, G? What are they saying within?
Michael, this is a very dangerous situation.
Mm-hmm.
Dangerous because tonight and tomorrow, the wind will be 70 miles an hour wind.
Wow.
You put 70 miles an hour wind by a fire, you got a disaster on your mind.
No, you're not joking.
We have a major fire in Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
We have a major fire in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
Southern California fire is more disastrous than the Northern California fire. And the reason is because it's closer to communities in the south than it is to the north.
Okay.
What we have here is a national disaster, a fire that consumes a football field every second.
Wow.
Football field every second.
Oh my God. And the Santa Ana winds that they talk about, Gary, they've always been in existence, but never have they been in as much prominence or infamy, as I should say, to what's going on now.
In the south, in the Santa Ana winds.
Uh-huh.
In the north, in the Diablo winds. In
wow.
The Santa Ana winds, I think, are more dangerous than the Diablo winds.
Mm-hmm.
Santa Ana winds go from Middle California and go to the coast.
Okay.
But where is most of your population? On the coast.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
If the fire starts, okay, let's get an example of this. Santa Barbara. Santa Barbara is on the coast.
Mm-hmm.
Santa Barbara is like about a mile and a half on the shore.
All right.
You have a fire that's in the middle of Santa Barbara. It can wipe out a town in 2 days. In 2 days, that town can disappear.
Holy shit.
And these people are saying, oh, we had no global warming. Well, what is this then?
Yeah. That's fucking crazy. Wow.
I moved to California in 78.
Mm-hmm.
We had Mount Diablo winds. And Diablo in Spanish, what Diablo means in Spanish is devil.
Right.
Okay? So these devil winds come every October. Every year, October.
Okay.
But what happens is, what's happening now is getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah. That's interesting. I never heard about Diablo winds. I mean, the Santa Ana, we always heard about because they always talked about that regarding weather from the West Coast when I was a lot younger. But the Diablo stuff, that's new to me, but it's both things are indication of how the weather patterns are changing and our inability to handle those changes. And nobody is saying anything about this, you know. People who are living in California right now are under siege.
No, Michael, we were told 50 years ago about this. We were told. And we chose to ignore it.
Uh-huh.
That's what happened. See,
well,
Vice President Gore, he reiterated it again.
I remember that.
A problem. And they ignored Vice President Gore.
Right. No, I remember that. But the whole concept of this being 50 years in the making, you know, you would have thought that, and as I was watching Gavin Newsom put his foot up PSE, whatever the fuck that company is, PSENG's ass, regarding the inability to keep up. You know, we saw similar stuff on the East Coast in 2012 when Hurricane Sandy just tore the Jersey Shore up all the way up to New York City and Long Island. And the server there is consolidated and it's our con Edison, and I think the con had a lot more to it than consolidated. but the short story was, you know, they were not prepared to handle the power of such a strong storm. And I still say to this day, we are very lucky that Hurricane Sandy, based on where we were, didn't drop a tsunami on us because that storm was uber powerful. And the train lines, even now, with Amtrak running from New York down to at least Philadelphia after Washington. It's out of Philly, it's a little bit easier, but in that area there, there's only two tunnels for those trains to come out of. And when they were waterlogged like they were, it really could have crippled everything traveling on the eastern seaboard. There is a lot of work that needs to be done on the total infrastructure of this country, regardless of which fucking president is in office. Because
okay,
that cocksucker who's in there now, let me finish this, G. That cocksucker that's in there now and the party that he runs with, they stopped 16 bills. 16 bills that would have immediately put funding in place for infrastructure, and motherfuckers said no. And because this is a sports show, in theory, I want to remind everybody early on that when Obama won his first term, one thing he did try to do was get a World Cup or an Olympics in his first term. He even took a contingent over abroad to make his pitch. But there was a cabal of folks that did not want to see Obama succeed in that regard. And because of that, plans for a third airport in Chicago outside of Gary, Indiana, which essentially is a suburb, would have built Gary up from the bottom up. It would have really, literally brought it up from the ashes. And it never got a chance to germinate because of the sons of bitches on the other side who refused to allow this to happen. Because why should we have this man be seen as successful? We're already pissed that he's black and he got in. But I digress. So that's what we're talking about, G. Infrastructure everywhere has been affected by this. We have seen at least two bridges fall. Remember the one in Minnesota? You know? A bridge in Minnesota falls and a bridge in Washington State falls. Literally a bridge that I used to drive over when I used to drive down to cover Seattle Seahawks games. So what the fuck good is running a country if every fucking thing in it is falling the fuck apart?
Wait, Michael. BG&E, Pacific Gas and Electric. Was told 35 years ago. You remember the Oakland fire back in 92?
Vaguely, yes.
Okay. They were told in 92 that you have a problem with trees overhanging their power lines.
Wow.
They did absolutely as little as possible. Well, 3 years ago, it was told again, you need to clear your power line.
Yeah.
They had another massive fire, right? 58 people died.
Yeah.
Needlessly, 58 people died.
Yeah,
because
needlessly.
This company, like Donald J. Trump, was too much interested in making money and not protecting the public. Now,
not just making money, G. Not just making money, but making money for a select few. That's the danger of privatization. The fact that you will have a handful of people get the money and get the funding to do whatever the hell they want with it, and it doesn't necessarily guarantee that that job or that work will get done.
Well, guess what, Michael?
BG&E,
if this goes going to the right way this weekend, BG&E stock will be at zero. Zero, zero, zero as a stock. Because this event this weekend, if the winds do as it's supposed to do tonight, tomorrow night, California can disappear.
Well, it's funny you say that. It's funny you say that because so often art imitates life, or at least pretends to. If you go back to the first Superman movie, and I'm talking the one Christopher Reeve, with, of course, Gene Hackman is the bad guy, Lex Luthor. And
yeah.
He lays out the plot to turn California into beachfront property by setting off the fault and having that exacerbate a natural chain of natural chain reaction that would take it off its land anchor and literally make it an island because of helping to instigate a natural disaster. And of course, we know Superman dies, or no, Lois dies, and he flies around the world X number of times. She comes back to life. But the whole point of this is California has been shaky like that forever. You know, the fault line that's been there, several fault lines, we've seen increases in the strength of earthquakes when they have happened recently. You know,
yep.
The desert area without that had problems, and there was another one, I think, a couple of years ago that registered. And even one up as far up as to the coastline near Canada, where the epicenter was Richmond, British Columbia. So they know. And there's always been speculation about the so-called big one coming anyway. So why aren't you earthquake-proofing as many situations as you possibly can, or at least preparing so that if it does come, and there's no reason to believe it wouldn't, there would be a higher degree of people being able to survive it rather than just hope that everything falls the fuck apart and as few folks as possible die. That's a kind of morbid way to look at it. Ain't that the truth?
I live 8 blocks from the Hayward Fault. 8
Whoa.
Blocks. I can look out my window.
Mm-hmm.
And see the Hayward Fault. Right?
Shit.
So my question, see, here's the question I have for people.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you build a community on top of a fault?
Yeah.
Another question. Why would you build a stadium, a 100,000 people stadium on top of a fault?
Whoa, which stadium is this?
California did. That stadium is right smack in the middle of the Hayward Fault.
So Cal Berkeley Stadium is right on top of the fault?
Right on top of the fault.
Holy shit.
There's a football game. Now think about this. There's a football game you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
At fault. Where
are we going? Yeah. Shit. I mean, I know you'll roll your ass out of there safely, but look, this is scary. Why would you put it right on top of the fault?
On top of the fault.
Shit.
We're dead on the fault. Michael, I have rolled out there.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
In the floor of the old stadium, I saw the cracks.
Wow.
Now they redone it. They refurbished the stadium, but you couldn't get me to go to the game now.
No, that's right.
I just see too much.
Mm-hmm.
You
catch people on that motherfucker. I'm laughing nervously at the thought of it, but you know, unless you're like one of those folks who like watch shit like the Weather Channel and all of that, you know, you're not privy to that kind of stuff.
No.
And you're not really thinking about it, but
no.
We're not even trying to make light of it. It's just the fact that I'm shaking my head at the premise of why wouldn't you fix shit? I mean, I saw this kind of stuff to a lesser extent living in New York City.
They're the subways, which were always the fabric of the city, their lifeline. The most secure thing about New York were compromised because of years of neglect. There was never maintenance done from the, and I say this as a born and raised New Yorker, from the time in the 70s, so from roughly my teenage years, everything about the city and the subway was solid. You could get from A to B, regardless of the weather, regardless of the condition of the weather, 24/7, 365. The city literally did not sleep. And now, it's not that the city doesn't sleep, it's that every now and then they're being told to take a nap because of lack of maintenance. You know, certain lines were closed down, other things were in effect where people couldn't get where they needed to get to. And I'll elaborate on that for a bit. But
before the World Series.
That freeway collapsed.
Wow.
All
I'm not surprised. Was there outstanding legal action from that Jeep that people sued?
Wait, it gets better. It gets better. 2 years later, the city of Oakland wants to build the freeway again. The same spot.
You mean rebuild it from where it was?
The same spot.
Oh, shit.
And the people of Oakland said, hell no, you ain't doing that again. And it got so bad that the community went to City Hall and shut down City Hall. And said, you build that thing again, we're going to boycott you forever. Well, they didn't build it.
Well, that's a good somebody stood up for them.
But because the black community, because the African American community said no, and this time, they had political backing and did not get built. In 1999, people did what they wanted to do in 1999. It happened again.
Shit. That's crazy.
They were going to build right back, Michael. They were going to go right back and build it again. How stupid can you get?
That's not stupid. That's on purpose. Somebody definitely had an angle on something where money was changed, because you wouldn't do that in an area that was already destroyed. But I wanna deviate somewhat and bring in our musical guest. He ain't even a guest. He's part of the mix here because he's been on before. Our brother Van Ark. Van, can you hear us?
Oh, yes, sir. How y'all fellas doing today?
Hey, man.
You talking to me and G. And Van, I know you got a taste of the conversation. There have been songs regarding disasters. You know, I mean, the Towering Inferno had some stupid theme song, and Poseidon Adventure had one. There was the 1941 mining disaster from way, way back in the day. And ironically, California speaking, the Doobie Brothers, and I was blessed to be in on this because I was working for Gannett at the time, and Michael McDonald
when he was still with the Doobies, was talking about how the sound of the band was going to change, and that they were discussing among themselves how they wanted their groove to go. And he was voting for more of a jazzy-tinged influence, and others were thinking more reggae and things like that. They did an album in 77, I believe, called Living on the Fault Line, literally the name of the title. And they talked
about
much
that
it was already.
Yeah,
you remember seeing it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not too long ago, I saw an original pressing.
So tell me, how can, it's not that they're used as an inspiration so much, but it's all part of the artistic process. Have you ever gone to that place where you created music that was born from something like a natural disaster?
I think as an artist, it's going to touch you subliminally and also directly, because you see so much after you've lived so many years. And and y'all was talking about that 1989 situation. I was kind of young when that happened, but I remember the effect of it.
Yeah, the world's
and
true.
Yeah. One of my friends that's from California, he told me about it. He was about 12 at the time, and he talked about how it affected him. And I recall seeing it and hearing about it during that time when I was in elementary school. So I think as far as me as an artist, not just natural disasters, just the climate of America and the world, it impacts my music, especially with this administration, your surroundings, the economy, all of those variables do connect to your creativity, I would say.
There's also a censorship factor that comes in with this too, Van, because if you remember, when they were trotting Nixon's ass out there about impeachment, there was only one artist. Actually, no, I stand corrected, two. Gil Scott-Heron and the Midnight Band did the H2O Gate Blues, the Watergate Blues, and Lamont Dozier had just finished doing work with Hot Wax out on the California coast. He came back and did his own thing and did a song called Fish Ain't Biting, where he's literally talking about Tricky Dick. And he's like, meanwhile, in
I have to check that record out.
Remember that?
You have to check that record out. I know about Lamont Dozier from Holland and Dozier, the producers, right?
Yeah.
I have to check that out. That's really interesting to know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So give us a sense of what's going on lately, brother. What you been cooking up for us?
What I've been cooking up, I just put out two singles this year. The first one is called Sketches, which is pretty much a one-man band project that's coming out sometime next year. But the first single is called Sketches. I have one of my good friends playing bass on the track, and I play most of the instruments. And the second single is called Shuffles, which is pretty much as the same, a one-man band. And another one of my musician friends, Marshall O'Leary, he laid down some really cool saxophone riffs and overdubs, and I produced and arranged it, and bringing in some other musicians that's kind of having fun and recording with me on this upcoming EP. So, and also I just released a cool 45 vinyl adapter with another company called Demir Brand out of Arizona. It's called a skateboard wheel adapter. Yeah, with my company Arc Technologies and association with Demir Brand, we put that out maybe about a few weeks ago, and it's selling pretty good, and it's one of those old school things that's kind of new, and everybody's getting back into the vinyl culture, which is
everything old is new. That's right.
Yeah, everything old is new. It's coming back full circle. But we just put out that skateboard wheel adapter, and it's doing pretty well. And you can check it out on my company website, arctechnologies.wordpress.com. You can check out music, videos, the adapter, everything else under the sun that you'd be interested in. And that's pretty much what I got going on. Just staying productive and creative, and stay tuned for that Basement Sessions EP that's coming out the top of next year.
Most definitely. Let me give everybody a little taste of what's going on right now. We're going to take something from Van, the track Sketches, where he is putting together this Dagwood sandwich of grooves. You listen to Soul Train Radio in the Raw.
It's a Dagwood sandwich. I like that.
Yeah, exactly. Extended fan Van Ark in the house. Check this out. Thank you.
That is Van Art with Sketches, fellow mad scientist doing his thing. And we appreciate that, brother. I want to know, and I want to bring Gary into the conversation as well, for all of us. You know, I've been talking about how we are living under, and we're living in the time of fascism, to kind of paraphrase Gabriel Garcia Marquez. And I wonder, how do you just your creative process when you hear and see all the stuff that's going on around you? Does it smother you? Does it make you more focused? You know, what, how do you translate it?
I look at it like the yin and yang. You have to kind of bring the light to the dark, especially in this vitriol, the angst of this era. You see so much, like you mentioned, with the fascism, this anger, everything across the board, but you have to, as a creative individual, push through that and see the bigger picture, a panoramic view of how you want to present the art to impact the listeners, and not just the listeners, just the world if you can. If you could just reach 1 to 5 people, even just one person, that will make a difference to me. That's very important to me, actually. And you have to tap into that positive vibration. You can't get pulled into that cesspool of what's going on around you. You have to push through that and just see it for what it is. Just let it manifest through your productivity and creativity and also through your spirituality.
Yeah, you're right. Gary, you feel the same way?
Yeah, I do. What happens is you go into deeper trends, and you come out with more material.
That's right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
You just
kind of
zone out
both,
for the most part. You just zone out, man. You have to kind of zone out from, like, you got to take that telescope and just, like, go beyond Earth and tap into that frequency. And that's kind of how I look at things.
No, I think you guys are right, because it's something I try to tap into. Well, I don't even try to tap into it. There was a time where I couldn't work, and it was because of political stuff. But the bottom line and all this was, like, my voice was being silenced. And I had to find a way to sift through that. And when, thanks to a gentleman named Michael Bruton, who got me hired down in Philadelphia, I promised I was never going to let myself be put in a situation like that again. And I say this to this day, from that day in 2006 where all that was finally let go, I have not, and I'm knocking wood and not my head, had writer's block since. And it is so important that the gifts that we're given, that we use them. If we don't use them, it's sad on our ass. And when a gift is given to you and it's not used, it's taken away, and you never get it back, that's the pain and penalty of it all, I think.
Yes, yes, I agree with that. A lot of people are not tapping into what they're supposed to be. They just settle for the mediocrity and the basic things in life. And I believe settling and just letting things be, that's kind of a curse to your whole, like, life, I would say. Just not going for certain things because of comfort zone or fear or what others think. And that can hold you back. It's held many people back, I believe.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, whatever we do, African-Americans, whatever we do it with excellence. We are the human Ogre Raider,
Tripping to excellence, huh? I feel you, G. Yeah, I hear that theme music playing in the background. But on a serious tip, how many tracks are you planning on for the next project here, Van?
Well, these two singles is from the upcoming project. I would say about 6 to 7 tracks. It's going to be a short project.
Uh-huh.
I'm in the process of wrapping it up so it can be out the top of 2020. But a lot of people's really received these new singles because it's a different – I'm always trying to go for a different sound, as you can tell. This is kind of – I don't want to be cliche, but somewhat taking it back to how it used to sound in the 60s and 70s, aesthetic-wise.
Sure.
But still have something fresh and new. This part just came about just by me just having fun in the studio and just going back to that – let's just lay down music and jam it out.
Yeah.
Whatever happens, happens.
That's what it should come about. If you're not enjoying it, if you ain't enjoying us, we had this conversation with our brother Jimmy Stevens when he was talking about music. If you're not enjoying what you're doing, if you're not appreciating the creative process by being able to, like, spiral out into different ideas and stuff just by fooling around, you know, You're doing the wrong thing.
There's a lot of artists out here. Yeah, you're right. Because there's a lot of artists out here that's just doing it for the money or just for fame. Some people would rather be broke and be famous than do it for the art and then let everything else come into play. And I'm always looking at it like this. Just tap into that child mode and be creative. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about it, anything else. Whatever happens, happens. Just have a body of work.
Exactly. Exactly. Let me give everybody a little taste of this other track, Shuffles, and everybody can get an earful. We're at Social Radio in the Raw, doing our thing now with a special musical segment, thanks to our brother Van Ark. This will be from his latest project, which will be out in the early part of 2020. Shuffles.
I'm the organ player, stay within the groove, the drummer, get into the ones and twos, and let's move, shuffle the groove, basement sessions.
Funkadelic fans here. If you remember, Funkadelic did a guitar thing. It was a little 2 minutes of change, and it was called Alice in My Fantasies. Now, on the album, it was 2 minutes. When they went live, they were able to spiral out. Those little horn runs in the beginning of it, it reminded me of something like that, or something like Sun Ra would do. You know, when the Sun Ra did his thing.
You know,
like,
I love Sun Ra. That's my guy, man. You know that. That's
everybody and their mama would be on stage, and he'd be like, I don't give a shit. Y'all throw what you can. Put your part in here and whatnot. Now he'll go like, oh, yeah, okay, boom, and jump on in and throw something else in there. That's one of those things that if it was done live, I could see it being 6-7 minutes and stuff like that because everybody's getting
Thing easily,
off
and man.
Yeah.
Yeah, easily. Like I said, my friend and collaborator, Marshall O'Leary, he's one of the most funkiest, innovative saxophone players I ever worked with, and he came in and laid down some overdubs, and we arranged the sax parts, and I pretty much produced the whole track. But he actually been on my last couple of projects, actually. But he's all over this one. But I kind of wanted to take it back to that vibe, just with the drums. I'm playing the drums on it, the keys.
Yeah,
I'm doing most of the vocals. It sounds like it's a band, you know, that call and response type of thing. You don't hear much of that anymore. Just something that's fun. Anybody can listen to.
That's right.
You know, reminding of the old Cool in the Gang.
Early Cool in the Gang.
Yeah. Yep, you're right, G. It's amazing how, well, I can say this among you guys because I think we may have all experienced it at one point in time. When Marvin came out with What's Going On, and he was doing overdubs and also separate tracks for not just his lead vocals, but his background vocals and everything else he heard in there and the drums, because he was a drummer. And you're thinking to yourself, what an amazing feat that is when you can hear all this shit in your mind. And as you lay it out, it's like, every one of these things that was being put into that is like a separate gift. So when I was talking about you doing the little Dagwood sandwich thing with the first track, is the highest compliment I could pay another artist, because that's what it all is. It's all tasty. It's all good. When I'm thinking about an article and things I need to put into something like that, and those couple of times where I'm scratching my head and then something pops and everything flows, That's why my friend Jimmy Stevens would say art saves lives. It does. It helps bring us back to our sanity, because it helps us to illuminate our humanity, you know?
Yeah.
I know you guys see it the same way.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, one of my good friends, and I'm sure both of y'all know, Archie Bell. Archie Bell on the Drills. He's a good friend of mine. Yeah, I sent him those two tracks first before they even came out. He was like, "Man, these are hot." I was like, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, these are good." And I knew then, I'm like, "Okay, if Archie Bell dig it, I know other people are really feel it." I was like, "Wow, that was, you know." And this guy's like, I think Archie may be in his mid-70s. Like, I love the guy. I kind of consider him a mentor. Wonderful, wonderful guy. So much musical history, but he heard those tracks. He listened to them. I sent him the CD. He was like, "Man, I'm digging Sketches, and I'm really into Shuffles." He really loves Shuffles. I'm like, "Okay, those are gonna be the two singles I put out first." You know, and I don't name drop like that. Like, I know, and I know a lot of people.
No, I know you don't. That's the cool part about all of this. Is what it's like, you know, it's. We bring to the table, and that's all. It's like I've seen the folks that people want to like look strange at, because they think, well, what have they done? And they have no idea, because they don't know who they are. And we know in the art community, unfortunately, there are too few people that are superficial like that. They don't understand the full depth of it all. You know, the ones that are grinding and doing the work and whatnot, you know, you got to respect that. The only difference between them and you is that maybe you're not as exposed, but the bottom line is, if you're exposed and your work's not good, what good did that do you? You know,
you're just clogging up the creative system. You're clogging up the pipes when it comes to other artists that's really good. And I'm not trying to shoot down anybody's dreams. My issue is...
No, you're wrong. I know what you're saying.
I know this is going to be controversial, but I don't care. Whatever. It's too many people trying to make music for the wrong reason.
Yes.
That's my issue. And you can see it.
They either do it for the fame, the money, they're watching TV and like, oh, I can do that. Yeah, you can, but what's the longevity? What's the end result? Do you care about a body of work or is it just the money grab?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with getting paid. You want to get compensated for your talents. But my issue is, I mean, 5 to 10, 15 years from now, what's the plan? Nobody's thinking like that. Everything is fixed. It's microwavable. It's straight to the point. Like, let me just microwave this and see what happens. That's pop culture.
Yeah.
And that's the issue.
That is so true. You know, we are doing an abbreviated version of this because I have a special event to attend to today. But as you're looking forward in putting together these 6 or 7 tracks that you're going to this EP, you know, do you have a layout of the other tracks or have all of those inspirations not come to you yet?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm almost about 90% done at this point. The other tracks are pretty much almost laid out because those two you just played, those are done, you know, and it's going to be interesting. You're going to hear a little bit of everything on there, a little bit of everything. But again, it's going back to that. If you notice the dynamics and the sound of those tracks sound like something from how Motown will record, and I'm not comparing my music to Motown music, but
dynamics
and the timbres and the way the drums sound. It's raw, straight to the face. It's like you sitting in the room with us playing, and that's what I want that film to be. It's nothing that's pretty. Like the last album was really nice and tweaked and pretty and sterile and clear, and I like that sound too, but I also like the raw sound. I like that analog type of push when it comes to the audio sensibility.
I know what you're saying. Definitely. That's a frequency thing when you know something that's just like tweaking and you're like, oh, no, that's what I wanted to hear. Yes. It's a powerful thing because
and I just
that frequency
down at the
thing,
drum set, man.
It's not always music because when it comes to writing, I get that same kind of frequency thing when it comes to certain words I hear or maybe other stuff that I've heard that hasn't come into my head yet. Or I look back on stuff and it's like, that was the missing piece. Because in interviewing folks, it's always, what's the question that the interviewer needs to ask so that other questions can be formed from it? It's not so much that one question to like get that spot answer from. It's always the other stuff that comes from it. What's going to allow you to ask other questions? And that, I think, is what happens when you're writing, too. It's like, what's the one thing that you know if you say this, if you bring this premise up, will allow you to carry forth an article and add more stuff? So I'm definitely feeling that. I definitely enjoy this. Please give a shameless plug again to your project and everybody can contact you, our fan, please.
So definitely contact me on Facebook. Just type in Van Art. Also, you can go to my website, arttechnologies.wordpress.com. I'm also on YouTube under Art Technologies, and you can connect with me at those social media sites. Check out the upcoming project, the top of 2020, the Basement Sessions Band EP, Van Art and the Basement Sessions Band EP. Let me get that correct so I can be detailed.
There you go.
So it's Van Art, Van Art and the Basement Sessions Band EP, top of 2020, and also, stay tuned for another collaboration between Arc Technologies and Demand Brand. We're going to bring a few more cool vinyl 45 adapters. And again, I appreciate it, Mike. I appreciate it. I always appreciate the support, you know?
Hey, no thing, man. You're always welcome.
It's an honor.
No doubt.
Oh, yeah. I feel like family. It seems like every year is like it's like we just meeting up. It's like our holiday. We just meeting up and building and talking about
different
events. Yeah, every October or November, I always look forward to it.
That's that thing that people do when, you know, you're connected and you may not hear from anybody for 5 or 6 months, but as soon as they open their mouth, it's like, oh, okay, what's up? And, you know, the connection is just re-harnessed and refueled and stuff. So
that's transition in the seasons. You know, it's that seasonal transition,
you know,
the weather change.
That is so
change.
True. Let me ask you this question before I go, because I've been thinking about this ever since I started doing music segments on this show. I've always believed that there are grooves that are seasonal. Like, certain thing you hear, and it may either generate thoughts of spring or it's what you feel you may be hearing during spring or summer based on what you feel from it. I've always believed that stuff exists. And now we are swinging into fall. So what does a fall sound feel to you? What does it feel like to you?
It feels analog, warm, throwing on a vinyl record. That tape hiss, that wild flutter. I know I'm kind of going back old school with
Run that shit down. That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I feel. Because in the wintertime, you know, you want to stay warm. You want to put in the fireplace, turn on your AC. That's how I'm looking at it musically. And a lot of my music, I think, reflects the seasons. I believe that. You also have music that's all year round. You know, it just has a certain type of timbre to it, a certain color that you can visualize when you listen to the frequency.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I fully agree with you on that. Yeah.
Yeah. G, do you feel the same way about music or writing in that regard?
Yeah, there's always like a season that I do well. And you need right around now. And, we go through the holes of it. We come back out and we did it, do a good job.
There you go. See, all of those things are real, and it's all part of being in touch with who you are, too. Because if you ignore that, then you can't be in a position to feel any of that. So everybody's doing what they're supposed to do. That's the beauty of it. If you're at this stage in life and you don't know who you are, in whatever aspect of that, you know, unfortunately the game has spanked you, not you spanking the game. But
yeah, it
seems like everybody here is on top of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sad and scary. But good news is, brothers got this. and we're glad that we're able to do this, because just like there were struggles for us with generations past, those generations past and those who are holding it down are watching everybody who's out here now. You must go forward. And I know in our own way here, everybody here and everybody I associate myself with is going forward. That doesn't have to manifest itself in monetary success, but it damn sure has to make a lot of difference in knowing who you are, because that's the key to the mystery. You don't know who you are, you can't help anybody. That's for damn sure.
At least I didn't feel that. You got to help yourself first. You have to know thyself so you can know others.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah.
Well,
and thank you. African American, here we go. African Americans learn very quickly who they are because they have to. They have no choice.
That's true. That's true, brother. It's like those nature specials you see on National Geographic where you see the wildebeest trying to run from point A to point B. If you can't run, your ass is dead. Either alligator's going to eat your ass up, or you some lion snack in the afternoon and all that shit. But if you keep moving, you got a better chance of survival. So here's to keeping moving for all of us here and everybody else on Twitter we are connected with. Man, thank you as always for coming in and bringing some good light down here on us.
Always, and
G,
thank you as well, sir.
I know it's, yes, sir, you really, please be safe, stay safe, and go safe. And G, give us a preview of the cove at the top of the hour, if you will.
Well, we know in the World Series between Washington and Houston, but what the world doesn't know is the last run, American media lied to you folks. They're telling you the last series was in 1933. They're wrong. The last World Series was in 1948. Between the Homestead Grays and the Birmingham Black Barons.
There you go.
1948. That was the last series in Washington. And see, the American media will not tell you that.
That's a good premise, G. I think that's going to be definitely worth listening to. Again, at the top of the hour, the Great Leopard Cove, call in number 646-727-3649. 727-3649. As for me, I got to take two steps to the rear and get my black ass out of here. So, we will see you all Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern, with the Music Therapy Mind Stream. And as always, we will be doing our thing up until the end of October with extra shows. We will put those back out there for site approval. And check out the new stuff Gary put out here as we are doing our Popsicle Brothers series on the National Hockey League.
Yes, sir.
Look for how the brothers are doing what they're doing out here and trying to do it, and do it well. Please, all the Cold Caravan folks, Soul Patrollers, everybody else, have a great weekend. Go safe. Stay safe. Be safe. We'll see you tomorrow night at 9.
You know, we're dealing with a very critical and crucial time. Most crucial and critical time that I've ever witnessed. Being as young as I am, you know. We all don't want to say nothing else, but we say as young as we are. Now I want to talk about the pronunciation and the realization. Now the educators, they call it ESP, positive thinking, right? Some of the people on the cross other side of the pond call it vibration, astrology, and all those different things, you understand? But I call what it is what it is. What it is and what it is. Look at him. Now you see, a brother, you take in the ghetto, you find a whole lot of crime. I can understand, hey, I know what it means. Being 9 years old before I got my first pair of underwear out of a store. You know, putting on a half-pressed suit from the pawn shop with tennis shoes, trying to be hip. So I know where it's coming from. Like the fella say, having catfish head stew. And look like the catfish went in there with his head and come out very quick and didn't leave nothing else. That's one thing the educators and the politicians and the establishment gotta remember. Now brothers need jobs.